I mentioned last week, well, we've been talking about Proverbs 11:30, and you guys turn over there to Psalms 126, and I will read Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Brother Tim, I don't think I'm going to need this tonight if you want to go ahead and raise that. Thank you. Proverbs 11:30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And we've been talking about winning souls. Now, of course, we know that we're not the ones that win souls. I had the privilege of talking to that 9-year-old boy this morning, going through the scriptures, showing him what the scripture said that he would have to do, like Dr. Schumacher sitting right over here. And 3 weeks ago, Dr. Schumacher did the same thing as that 9-year-old boy. Now, Dr. Schumacher's 78, that boy's 9. And they both did the same thing to receive Christ as their Savior, because there's only one way to be saved. And we've been talking about this for several weeks now on Sunday night. And I mentioned last week that I mentioned just a few Bible reasons every Christian ought to be a soul winner. And I mentioned that I'd finish that up tonight. Well, I think that the Lord kind of just spoke to my heart this week and said that's enough Bible reasons. I think everybody understands that. So I'm just going to finish up this kind of series here by this message tonight. Important things we need to remember about soul winning. Okay, just very simple. I don't even know if we're going to be here that long tonight, but that's okay. But important things we need to remember about soul winning. Okay, and again, we're not the ones that win souls. We're not the ones that win anybody. But I don't mind using that phrase, soul winning, because the Bible says he that winneth souls. So the Bible uses those terms. And again, it's not us that's doing the winning. It's us that God uses to show them how they can be saved. And then it's up to them to trust Christ as their Savior if they choose to do that. And we know this, God won't force anybody to be saved. If somebody doesn't want to be saved, then God won't force them to. But I know this, if they don't, they will forever be sorry that they didn't. Because the Scriptures teach there's two places to go once you die. You either go that direction to heaven, or you go that direction to hell. Now, many people, you know, they don't like to hear about hell, but you cannot preach the Word of God and not preach about hell. Hell is not just dying and then remaining in the grave. That's not it. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 16, it talks about the rich man and it talks about Lazarus. Lazarus didn't have anything here on this earth, but he had the Lord as his Savior. And Lazarus died, the Bible says, and there was a rich man. And the rich man died, the Bible says. And it says, and the rich man, well, let me just read it to you. You can hold your verse right over there, but I'll read this to you so I don't misquote the scriptures. But it's found in Luke chapter number 16. I believe it says, and in hell the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus went to heaven, that direction. He didn't have anything as far as the world's concerned, but he had the most important thing, that's Christ as his Savior. The rich man had everything the world has to offer, but he missed the one thing that he needed, and that was Christ. And he went to hell, and Lazarus went to heaven. So you cannot preach the Scripture, you cannot preach the Bible, without mentioning both heaven and hell. Man, everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to. At least, that's what they say. But then when it comes down to doing what you have to do to get there, then that's a different story. We knocked on a lot of doors yesterday morning, and went on some long streets over here by where you guys live, Brother David. And we knocked on a lot of doors. And I know that the response of some people was not very good. Some people said they were not interested. Some people said, I'm not religious. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I talked to one man. He came to the door and I invited him to our church, went to give him a tract. He wouldn't take it. And he pointed up and said, I don't even believe in him. That guy looked like the model or the poster child for a miserable person. I mean, his house is about to fall down. The guy looked like he could barely get around. He looked mean. You know, I mean, you didn't see any peace in his face. And I'm thinking to myself, you might not believe in him, but that's what you need. you need Christ as your Savior. Not only go to heaven, but He would sure help your life too. But not everybody's going to believe that. Okay? But if they don't, then they're the ones that's going to be eternally sorry for that. But our job is to let them know. Now, I know this. I do hope the man gets saved. I hope sometime in the rest of his life he realizes he is a sinner and somebody is able to reach him for Christ. I'm sure we'll knock on his house again, because once we knock on every door in this town, we're going to knock on every door in this town again. And we're going to keep on doing it till the Lord comes. But I know this. If the man does die without Christ, then it's not my fault, because we went there and we offered him a chance to hear the gospel. If he had just taken that card, our card from our church, it has the gospel on there. And he could have had a chance to read that for himself. Now, here's some important things to remember about soul winning. Psalms chapter 126, verse 5 and 6 says this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What is the precious seed? It's the Word of God. And when we distribute the precious seed, then the Lord is the one that causes that seed to grow. Isaiah says that, he says it like this, my word shall not return void. You cannot ever give the gospel to the wrong person. You can't take the gospel to the wrong address. You can't ever give a Bible verse or a scripture to somebody that it will not do what God wants it to do. And by that I mean this. God is going to use His Word as He sees fit. But I know this. There's going to be some people that will turn their nose up at the Scripture. There will be some people that won't believe the Scripture. But again, God's Word says it will not return void. That's what it says. So we don't know what God will do in that person's heart once we give them the gospel. You know, I don't know how many people that we will give a tract to one of these days that we might not ever talk to again. But one of these days they might read that tract, or they might remember what we said and go to church somewhere and get saved. Remember in the Scriptures, the Bible talks in the book of Corinthians, Paul says that Paul planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So all of us, we might be the ones that plant the seed. Somebody else might come along and water. Maybe we'll meet somebody that God has already planted the seed in their heart, and then we'll be the ones that water that seed. But it's always God that giveth the increase, but He uses us to do that. So just several simple things, important things we need to remember about soul winning, all right? And we have soul winning every week where we go out and knock on doors, invite people to come to church, and of course we want to have the opportunity to win them, to Jesus Christ. Here's some simple things to remember about soul winning. Number one, anybody can do it. Anybody. Anybody can do it. You say, I don't have a Bible college education. You don't have to. Anybody can do it. Lorenzo, 11 years old, been saved 2 weeks, told his friend, I went there to church and I got saved. He's 11 years old, been saved 2 weeks. He don't know all the stuff we're talking about. But he knows that he got saved. Amen? So anybody can do this. The woman at the well in John chapter number 4. Turn over there. John chapter number 4. This lady was a bad lady. I mean, she was in a bad occupation. And she had already had 5 husbands, and she was living with a guy at that time. And she was not married to him. But this lady got saved. And as soon as she got saved, look at verse 28. Of John chapter 4. The woman then left her water pot. Now her water pot, that was a very precious thing. She went out there to get water. And you got to have a water pot to get water. Okay, and they had to go out and get it. Alright. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Christ is the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. She was saying, is not this the Messiah whom we've been looking for? And this lady didn't have a Bible college education. She just got saved. And she went and witnessed back in the city to those men and told them about Jesus Christ. Hey, anybody can tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Anybody can be a soul winner. Anybody can. Every one of you kids can. Devin, right down here on the front row. Devin, he's praying for all his classmates. And you know, if you're here on Wednesday nights, we had so many classmates, we finally just had to take all their names off and put on there Devin's classmates. And that's a good thing. That nine-year-old boy is praying for his classmates to be saved. And I would have a suspicion that Devin is not just praying for him, but I'd have a suspicion that he's also witnessing to him too. Knowing Devin, I bet you he is. So anybody can do this. Now, the woman at the well had just got saved. And then, Acts chapter number 8, if you'll turn over there, Acts chapter number 8, we have an evangelist. This is Philip the evangelist. The Bible says in verse number 5 of Acts chapter number 8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with him, and many with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, Philip was an evangelist, okay? You go on down chapter 8 just a little bit, and there's that great story in verse 26 about this same evangelist leading that Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord out in the desert. So here's what I'm trying to say. Whether it's an 11-year-old boy named Lorenzo, or whether it's the woman at the well that just got saved, or whether it's an evangelist, God can use anybody to win somebody to Jesus Christ. God can use you. I challenge you. We've been over how to win people to the Lord. We went through the Romans Road. We went through all those verses. And I'm still going to get y'all, I'm still making a little thing that you can put in your New Testament with the Romans Road on it. But I challenge you to pray and ask God to let somebody cross your path that you can lead to the Lord. If all of us will determine that we're going to lead people to Christ, we will build a church here in Ridgecrest, California. We're the only independent Baptist church in this whole town, as far as I know. Now, I know there's other churches here that preach the gospel. I know that. But we're the only independent Baptist church. And I know there's other churches preach the gospel. And I know there's some other churches that go out and they invite people to the Lord too. But the way we ought to look at it is this. We can't depend on those other churches because we don't know what all the other churches in town are doing. So the way we ought to look at this is this. It's our responsibility as a church to make sure that this town hears the gospel message. And if there's other churches also doing that, praise God. Thank God for it. Amen. But we don't know that for sure. So it God put us here. And so we need to realize, hey, any of us can do that. And ask the Lord, Lord, please let my path cross with somebody that I can lead to Jesus Christ. And if we will all do that, then we're going to build a church here. Thank God we've got a church here. But I mean by that, we're going to see our church grow and we're going to see more people saved and we'll be able to disciple more people and then they'll be able to win other people to the Lord. Point number two, not only number one, anybody can do it, but number two, you can do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere. Anywhere there's people and anywhere you're at, you can do that. Anybody can take a track out of their pocket. You ladies ought, and I know people are taking these things because I'm getting ready to order some more. We've passed out several thousand of these gospel tracts. So people are taking them, and I hope you're not just stacking them on your dresser and you got a big giant stack there. I hope you're passing them out. Amen. But anybody can take a gospel tract out and give it to somebody. I was getting gas right over here this morning. I came here early and then I went to the High Desert Haven, met my wife and mother-in-law over there. But I had to get some gas, went right over here. There was a man and a lady getting gas. Today's Easter. Okay, they were not dressed like they were going to church. Okay, they're putting gas in their car. So I just walked over and said, well, today's Easter. This would be a good day to visit our church if you don't go anywhere. And they didn't look like they were going anywhere. So the lady took the gospel tract. She said, thanks. Well, think about that. You know, hey, all they can say is no. You might get somebody to be ugly to you every once in a while, but hey, that's okay. You'll have people be ugly to you while you're in line at Walmart sometime too. Amen? So, just go ahead. Anybody can do this, and you can do it anywhere. You can do it on the bus. You can do it, you can pass these out in airports, in churches, jails, prisons, restaurants, anywhere. I told you all this story, but some of you don't remember it. Some of you were not here. When this church called us to come and be the pastor about 19 months ago, we were coming out here, and my wife and I were in our big Ryder truck, and we had our van pulling that behind the truck, and we stopped in Arizona at a gas station. There was a guy right beside of me. He had a big rig, and he was hauling something. And so we're going to both be getting a lot of gas. So I gave him a gospel tract, started talking to him. And the guy just kept talking and kept talking. And I asked him that question that I said to y'all that I use in my presentation. I said, I can't remember what his name was. I've got it written down somewhere. But whatever his name was, I called his name and said, let me ask you this. I'll probably never see you again as long as we live because our paths are just crossing. We stopped at the gas station. But I'll ask you the most important question in the world. And that is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that. And said, I said, well, while we're standing here getting our gas, would you mind if I were to explain to you how you could know that? He said, no, go right ahead. And that man stood right there, listened to the gospel, and I have the privilege of leading that man to Jesus Christ standing there at the gas pump. Never seen him since. But I guarantee I'll see him in heaven one of these days. Amen. Listen, people are getting gas. They're not going to get mad at you and rip the hose out and speed off and burn rubber out of there. Amen. You ladies are standing in line somewhere at the grocery store. They're not going to get mad and just shove their cart out of the way and say, you offered me a track. I'm leaving. No, they spend a lot of time getting all this stuff in that basket. So we can pass out a gospel track. Okay? Anybody can do this. Be ready for the opportunity. That pastor, Brother Jack Hiles, who used to pastor First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, he preached a message one time, and the message was this. You learn to ride, and God will provide the horses. That's a good thought. Some people say this, well, I want horses first, then I'll learn to ride. It's not the way it works. You learn to ride, and then God's going to provide you a horse. You learn to win somebody to Christ, and you ask God to let somebody cross your path, and you know what? God will give you the desire of your heart. You learn how to do it first, and then God's going to send somebody your way that you can win to Christ. So, praise the Lord. Anybody can do it. You can do it anywhere. Number three, you can do it at any time. There's not a certain time. Now, we have regular visitation time here at the church. But you don't have to, if you're out somewhere and somebody wants to be saved, you don't have to say, shucks, man, it ain't Saturday. It's not 10 o'clock yet. It's not time for visitation. Sorry, you can't get saved. We'll come back Saturday at 10. That's when we go visiting. Now, you can do it any time, day and night. Okay, anytime. I think about the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter number 16. That was not like during regular business hours. Amen. At midnight, God sent that earthquake and opened up that jail. And so sometime after midnight, before in the morning, that jailer and his whole family got saved. So you can win people to the Lord anywhere. Anybody can do it. And you can win people to the Lord anytime, day or night, whatever shift you work, wherever you're at. People will get saved. Number four, this matter of soul winning reaches all classes of people. You read this Bible and you'll see everybody from harlots to honorable women trust in Christ as their Savior. I think about Rahab. Y'all remember who Rahab is? She was the harlot. The Bible says, let's look over at Joshua chapter number 2. Remember when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea? The first city they came to was Jericho. And God was going to destroy that city and give them the land. And, of course, these people hated the Jews, the children of Israel. And there was a lady here named Rahab. The Bible says there, Joshua chapter number 2. It tells a story, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Now, we've been to Jericho. My wife and I have been there. My mother-in-law, she's been there. That's an Arab city. It's a Palestinian Authority city. When you drive in, you go. Our Jewish guide couldn't even go. He had to get off the bus. But that's where this took place here. And they went. Well, it says, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Well, this harlot, she trusted the God of Israel as her own God. And this lady got saved. Now, how did people in the Old Testament get saved? They got saved exactly like people in the New Testament and exactly like people today got saved. So let's say this is the cross right here. The Bible makes it very plain that they put their faith in the fact that the Messiah was coming and that He was going to die on the cross for them. And they believed that and they trusted the fact that He was going to come. On this side of the cross, we put our faith and trust in the fact that He already has come and died for us. And so, the cross is what it's all about. Amen? Whether that side of the cross or this side of the cross, there's only been one way to get saved. Okay? So, this lady got saved like everybody else. Now, this is pretty amazing because the Bible makes it very plain that she was a harlot. Okay? That's not a good lady. Okay? But now look over to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. And this is an amazing thing. This was a bad lady before she met the God of Israel. But after that, obviously, God saved her. Now, many people believe that the one that she married was one of those two spies. One of those two spies that Joshua sent out, that she housed there. One of those spies and Rahab, and I believe it was one of those guys, they got married. Okay? And the Bible says, Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 3, well, let's read Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Sarah of Tamar, that's the same as Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Let me see here. Is that the one I want here? Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes, thank you. Verse 4 says, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. That Rahab there, that's Rahab. So that's an amazing thing. Rahab was a harlot. But she met the God of Israel. She got saved. God changed her life. And here she is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now look, hey, this matter of soul winning, this matter of trusting Christ as their Savior, it reaches all classes of people. And then here's another indication. Not only is she in the genealogy of Christ, but she's also in the Hall of Faith. That's an amazing thing. She's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. Look over there. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 31. Hebrews 11, 31. Now let's look at verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. The Lord listed this lady in the Hall of Faith, along with Moses and Joseph and Isaac and Jacob and all the rest of these people. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? So see, the gospel reaches all classes of people. And then I think of not only Rahab, but on the other end of the spectrum, look at Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17 and verse 12. Acts chapter 17 verse 12 says this. Well, let's look at verse 10. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went in the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So you have people all the way from a harlot to honorable women that all, according to the Scripture, they believed the gospel of Christ and they were saved. So this matter of giving out the gospel, it reaches all classes of people. Look, there, and of course the Bible teaches that we're to be no respecter of persons because God is no respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter if it's a doctor like Dr. Schumacher over here or if it's a 9-year-old boy. It doesn't matter. What everyone needs, from the youngest to the oldest, from the poorest to the richest, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has given us, you and I, the responsibility of giving people the gospel. Every one of us can do that. Point number five, simply is this. It works. It works here, and it works around the world. Now, Brother John, I'm not sure where he's at tonight, but he was planning on coming back. But anyway, John Carroll, he came over and ate with us today, and I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord during the invitation back in November. Many of you remember that. So John Carroll got saved. Retired Navy, works on, you know, out at the base now. And you got Dr. Schumacher over here, a doctor, been in the, you know, in professional, I mean, a doctor for many, many, many years. You have these little boys over here. Those are just some of the people that's been saved right here in Ridgecrest. And this afternoon, I went through just very briefly and looked at our 20, we got 20 missionaries we support back there, and I just looked very quickly at different letters, and here's what I found. Letters back there, in those letters, they talk about people being saved in England, Uganda, the Philippines, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Cambodia, New Guinea, and Tanzania. That's all over the world. So not only does it work here at home, but it works everywhere in the world that people are at. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It works in every language. We speak Spanish. We were missionaries in Mexico. We've had lots and lots of Mexicans down there that didn't speak a lick of English. We've been able to lead them to Jesus Christ. There's men pastoring churches tonight that we had the privilege of leading to the Lord and training them and discipling them. They don't speak any English at all, but yet they heard the gospel in their language, and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because it's the Word of God. Amen? It's the Word of God. So, hey, this thing of winning people, Lord, works. Not only here, but around the world. Number six, it produces great results. We won't look at these verses, but Acts 2, 4. I tell you what, let's do look at them, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. The Bible says this. Acts 2 and verse 41. The Bible says there, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 people got saved and got baptized and were added unto the church. They became members there at the church at Jerusalem. About 3,000 of them, they were added. Okay, then you go over to Acts chapter number 6 and Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 says this, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Okay, there it uses the word multiplied. In 2:41 it used the word added. Now it uses the word, it says the number of disciples were multiplied. Then you go down to verse 7 and it says this, and the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You have the words added, then multiplied greatly. So you see, this matter of winning people to Christ, getting out the gospel, it produces great results. Hey, you win one person to the Lord, then another person gets saved. Now you think about this. What if everyone in this church, and again, there's nowhere near all of our members here tonight, but if every member of China Lake Baptist Church won one person to Jesus Christ in 2014 and brought them to church and got them here, our church would double. And then, if us here and those new ones won one person to the Lord next year, exactly right. That'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it? But that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And there's over 7 billion people in the world. And some people say this, it'd be impossible to reach everybody. Not if we use the plan God gave us in this book, it wouldn't. Because you understand, I mean, we got intelligent people here tonight. You understand, you start doing that, and then it multiplies, and you're talking about big numbers quick. And we could literally reach the world for Christ in our lifetime with no problem at all. if we would all just do that. But hey, this produces great results. And then lastly of all, lives will be changed. And I think I'll use one person, and then we won't have to say any more about this, but that's Paul. Remember, his name was Saul, and he had papers going to Damascus. Damascus is in Syria. And of course, there's a civil war going on there. In the last 3 years, over 150,000 people have died. But in Damascus, that's where he was heading, with the authority from the chief priest to arrest anyone who was of that way. That means they were like us. That means they had trusted Christ as their Savior. They were Christian people, believers. And then God got his attention on the road to Damascus, and God changed his life, and he became the Apostle Paul. We've been studying about him in Acts. He just finished his third missionary journey. And the Apostle Paul traveled from Jerusalem to Rome with the gospel. And he's the one that took the gospel to Europe. And then we know the gospel came to us from Europe. And so, man, God changed that man's life. And how many people through history have been saved because God got a hold of one man? I heard a great preacher from years ago, made this statement. The world has yet to see what God can do with one man that's totally surrendered to him. Hey, I don't have any idea what God could do with the folks we have in this church right here. But I know this, if we'll be busy about the matter of soul winning, God can bring about great results, and there will be lives changed. There's already been lives being changed right now, and it will be amazing what God can do. There might be another great missionary sitting right here in our church. That's why I like to have missionaries come and preach. There might one of these young people might go off one of these days from our church and do a great, great work for God. We don't know that, but I know this. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's all stand, if you would, please. We have at the end of our services what we call an invitation, and that's just a time when we invite people to do business with the Lord. You can do that right there where you sit, and you could come down to the front and kneel here if you want to. But if God spoke to your heart about something tonight, then I invite you to do business with the Lord. And I'd like to just ask you, if you would, please, just to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'll ask you that most important question. I mentioned it this morning. I'll ask it again tonight. But would there be anybody here tonight that would say this, Pastor, if I were to die tonight, I'm not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know that for sure. Would you please remember me in your prayers? Is there anybody like that tonight? You'd say, I don't know for sure. I don't know positively that I'm saved. I don't know I'm on my way to heaven for sure, but I'd like to get that thing settled. I'd like to know that. Is there anybody here? Would you raise your hand? We'll be glad to pray for you. We're not going to come back there and embarrass you, but we would sure be glad to pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that? How many folks would say this, Pastor, remember me. God spoke to my heart about something tonight. Would you raise your hand? All right, God bless you. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. And Lord, we know that you've spoken to hearts. And I pray, God, that you'll help all of us to respond in the way that you would have us to. In Jesus' name. As Miss Vicki plays the piano, as we have our heads bowed and